2 Timothy chapter 2, and get to the preaching this morning, and I'll try to bring this out. We like to special holidays and recognize groups of people, buddy, but I'm going to tell you what, nobody's done for us what Jesus Christ has done for us. Amen. And that's, I was called to preach Jesus, and that's the main point, the main thing. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, and who shall be able to teach others also. That thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today, and we just do want to lift up our leaders of our nation, Lord, particularly Brother Pence, Lord, there in his position, Lord, as a Christian, Lord, to have a powerful testimony where he's at and where you've placed him. So and lift him up. Lead with us today, Lord. Help us. We've all been placed somewhere in this world, Lord, and wherever we can are, that we know we can be. A powerful testimony and witness for you. Help us to do that. Realize our calling that we have as Christians. And Lord, for those that may be here that's never trusted you as their Savior or not sure about their faith that they think they may have, Lord, help them realize their state and Lord, what they need to do. And maybe even today, give their heart and life to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is, "Are You a Veteran?" As I mentioned, of course, we're all aware that Friday was Veterans Day, and we honor our military veterans on that day and did so even today. Webster's Dictionary defines a veteran as a person who has a long service or experience in an occupation, office, or the like, a person who has served in military force, especially during war, experience through long service or practice. That's the definition of a veteran. When we look over here on our left, we've got two flags that fly, or standing here, they fly outside. We got the American flag, and down there on the end, we have the Christian flag. I'd like to say somebody, I offended somebody unknowingly, and they finally talked to me about it, that I'd made a comment one time, and it had to do with the government about how I was aggravated with our nation, and I didn't feel like flying the American flag. I would say it was a lot of rhetoric. I still do fly the American flag, and although I'm still sometimes not happy with our government, with some of the laws that they pass, but this person was struggling because of their child was in the military. Men are waffles and women are spaghetti, and so, we compartmentalize, and I said, look, here's the difference. It has nothing to do with the military. I'm proud of the military. I support our military, and back them 100%. I separate the military and the government. It's two things. They say, I see your point now. I'm aggravated when my nation's passing laws that are against the word of God. I'm not happy about that. I'm not proud of that in that same sense. I'm proud of the military. I'm not proud of a lot of the laws that my nation has on the books or the things that they allow that to do. So if I made anybody else mad, I apologize for that. But it doesn't have anything to do with the military. I love my country, but I will say this. I don't worship my country. I worship Jesus Christ. And when my country gets away from God, I'm not going with my country. I'm going with my Savior. That's the difference right there. Amen? Now, a lot of us, I still got a flag. We stick it out there a lot. And how many of you have a flag at home that you stick out and you fly the flag on the 4th of July, sometimes on Veterans Days, two of you, three of you? How many? Everybody got flags? Everybody stick your hand. Everybody got a flag? If you don't have a flag, get you a flag, huh? Get you a flag. And if some of you new homeowners, Willie, you might have to spring, I know what you need for Christmas now. Get you a flag. You fly the flag. Well, why do we do that? Why do we fly an American flag? When I grew up, that's when you stuck it out there certain times. And we've even talked about I'd like to get a flag pole out here maybe and put a flag on it. Why do we fly an American flag? Why do we stick it out there? We're proud of it. We're proud of it. Right. But it's getting harder, like I said. But we're proud. That's why we do it. Well, I thought about this. Have you ever rode by and seen anybody flying a Christian flag out front of their house? Anybody in here do that? Joe Gordon's mom? There you go. Where her mom lives, though, nobody in the world would see it, you know. Huh? How many of us, I thought about it, and I started thinking about it. I never have either. I thought, well, you know, if we're proud, we fly this because we're proud. What about of your relationship to Jesus Christ or about Jesus Christ? I started thinking, you know what, maybe I'm thinking about I need to get a Christian flag. And that thing ought to be sticking out there. What day are you going to put it out there? Easter? Huh? Easter? Christmas? I was thinking we were singing the song we sang earlier, Up From the Grave You Rose. Is that what it was? I said, you know, Man Alive, is it the wrong holiday? You know, some of those songs we only sing them on, and not that we have to wait to sing about the resurrection. We can sing about it every day. But I thought about it. How come we, as Christians, because see, you know, I like what Mike Pence said. He said, I'm a Christian first. I'm a Christian first. That's the way it was supposed to be. We should get Christian flags. I'll look and see if I can get us a deal. I'll get them and then y'all can get one. We'll stick them out there. Now, you know, you're going to stick it out there. You're going to have to live like that, right? You don't want to have a Christian flag out there and go running out the door fussing at your spouse using languages. You know, you wouldn't look too good, right? Maybe that'll help you in that area right there. But I thought about that. You know, there's requirements to being a veteran, and a requirement is being a good soldier. It's being a good soldier. I've had more misunderstandings around Veterans Day probably preaching than any other holiday. One year, I was going to say I was discharged, and then when I said dis, I realized I should have said honorably discharged. So I said I was honorably discharged. Somebody thought that I had said that I was dishonorably discharged. Why would you stand in the pulpit and tell everybody that? I wasn't dishonorably discharged, so I'll keep that story straight. I had an honorable discharge. To be a veteran, you have to be a good soldier. And so I want us to look at this, and I'm going to use two parallels, or parallel this. What's required to be a good soldier and therefore become a veteran of Jesus Christ? The number one thing, very first thing, is you have to be a volunteer. You know, when I came in, the last draft, they used to have, for you younger people, there was a draft. And when the draft came, what happened was when you turned 18, you had to go down and register for the draft. How many of you guys in here that was veterans registered for the draft? How many of you got drafted? Larry got drafted, Stanley got drafted, Floyd, did you get drafted? Yeah, Hank got drafted, Harry, Tex. What happened to me was, I was in the seventh grade, I goofed off all the time. And so they said, hey, you know, seventh grade, I liked it so much, I'm going to go through seventh grade again. It was kind of a saving grace, because what happened when I turned 18, I had to register for the draft. They had the last draft of the Vietnam War. I would have been graduated if I hadn't gone through the seventh grade two times, but I wasn't. I had my senior year left. And then the way they did the draft when I was coming along, they put birthdays, they call it out on the radio, and they call out your birthday. And the closer you were to the first birthday they called out, the more, you know, it was more definite that you were going to get drafted. Third date they called out was my birthday, September 8th. They called that out on the third date, but I was still in high school and they wouldn't draft you while you were still in school. See, failing came in handy, you know. Failing came in handy. But I didn't get drafted, but that was the last time that we had a draft. Now, when I went in the military, I volunteered. I just went down, me and another fella got talking about it, and we went in. It was, you know, it's a free choice that you make. But you have to be, and you know, when you think about this army here, the one on the other end down there, the Christian army, you know what? It's a volunteer. They had recruiting offices. They still have them. And sometimes recruiters, if you were in high school, a recruiter would come and talk to you about the Army, Navy, Marines, whatever, about joining up with that. But you know what? God's got His recruiters too. God's got His recruiters. You know what? When we serve under that flag, and Jesus Christ, He sends out recruiters. And it's us. It's us. I mean, this. I was sharing this with my daughter-in-law, and I were talking about things, about the election, and we were talking about the way the nation's going and stuff. Listen, and I shared this with my Sunday school class. I don't care who we have in government office. The government is not going to tell us about Jesus Christ. Amen. Boy, if it does, it will be a red letter day. Now, if they do, if they ever get to where they're doing that, now we just had somebody that's in government did tell us in that sense. But the government's not going to teach us about Jesus. It's not going to teach us the Word of God. And it's not the government's job to do it. It's our job. I was telling our Sunday school, I said, everybody's got this, we got these little pecking orders. You know, there's the pastor and the deacon and then the Sunday school teachers. And when you're down here at the bottom, you always think it's everybody else's job to do it, to tell somebody. You think it's everybody ahead of you. And then even if you're a Sunday school teacher, you think it's somebody above you. And all the way up to me, whose job do I think it is? Some other church, you know, I'll just pass the buck. I mean, it's our job. It's our responsibility. We're the recruiters for Jesus Christ. I'll give you some verses here in just a second. And, you know, so it's not something that anybody else is going to do. It's our job. When we enlist in this army, I'm going to tell you something. When I went in, we had dates. Everybody said I went in from this time to this time. When you join the army of Jesus Christ, it's a lifetime commitment to that army. There's no discharge date from that army. Thank God for that. Now, we'll say this. We got some AWOL soldiers in the army of Jesus Christ. Some of them that's not showing up for duty. Amen? A man alive. Men's fellowship breakfast yesterday was pretty AWOL down there at North Star Restaurant. I told I got in there and was Stanley and Brian. I said, if I'd known y'all was the only ones coming, I'd have laid out. But finally, then Kenny got down there. Man alive. AWOL soldiers in the army of Jesus Christ. Now here, listen, God's not forcing people, but he's pleading for people to come and join that army. He doesn't force us to do. You know, some places, now the draft was kind of like that. When I was in Sicily and part of Italy when I was in the service, and in some countries, and I know Italy's one of them, when you turn 18 after you graduate from school, you have to serve in the every male, maybe the females too nowadays, you serve in the military for a certain amount of time. That they make, you know, you serve there, and then when you get out, you can stay in the military or get out. So everybody is kind of a forced deal as part of the law there. But listen to this, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. But I want you to see the first part. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador. That means that we represent Jesus Christ on this earth to everybody else that doesn't know who Jesus Christ is. It's not just my job. It's your job. If you're saved, it's your job. You're the representative of Jesus Christ. This is what our main goal should be, to glorify Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen, that's what God's desire is. Listen, you volunteer. Nobody forced you to do it. Paul told Timothy in verse 3, he said, endure hardness as a good soldier. You know, when you volunteer for something, you can't complain. You go, join the military, you know, I guess you can complain, but this is what you get, the food. You can't complain about the job. You can't complain about the hours. You can't complain about the effort. You know, all those things. He told him to endure. That's it. You know, you go into the military. Listen, you're bought with a price. In a sense, you're on their time. You know, you belong to the government. Government issue. Everything you got is government issue, right? Listen, the Bible says that we're bought with a price too, the blood of Jesus Christ. Guess what? We don't belong to ourselves any longer either. I'll tell you about that in just a minute. So a little bit more about that. Matthew 10:22 says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Listen, there's some things to endure. 1 Corinthians 13:7, the Bible says that love believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. See, if you really love Jesus, this is just a whole issue. If we love Jesus Christ, listen, we will be an ambassador. Yeah, will it be hard? Yeah, we'll endure the hardness right there. You endure all things when you love Jesus Christ. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptations, for he is tried, he shall receive. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Listen, to be a good soldier, and therefore a veteran of the cross, you have to be a volunteer. You volunteer, you do it voluntarily. But listen, once you become, you volunteer, you're in the Lord's army. That's just the way you're in. Now, the second thing is you have to have complete faith. I signed up to join the Navy in Falls Church, Virginia. Went down there to the recruiter's office, talked to them a little bit, got a little catalog, kind of looked at what things they had out there. And we joined up. And on the day that you had to go through your physical and stuff, and it was finally the day you're going in. You're going to boot camp. They gave us a day as a few months out there. We went down to Falls Church, and we got in a van. And we had to go to Baltimore, Maryland, is Armed Forces Indoctrination Station, AFES, they call it. You go down there. We got in the van. I remember we got on the Beltway. Man, when I left Falls Church, all I had was the clothes on my back. I mean, what I'm wearing. I didn't have no ditty bag, no toothbrush, no nothing. I mean, man, I had what I was wearing. I went on down there, and I got on the van. And I remember, you know, I was thinking when we were riding around the Beltway, what have I done? Man, I mean, I'll never forget that feeling. Nobody's talking. You're on there with a whole van full of guys, and we're sitting on there, and I'm thinking. I don't know what, I went in with a guy named Gary Ford. We went on the buddy plan. I wasn't even talking to Gary. I was just sitting there looking out the window at the free people out there. Huh? I said, I'm feeling like a prisoner now. Because you know what? I'm in the van, and it's carrying me where they want to carry me to. You have no say-so. I mean, you're on the road. You're going. And whatever they do, hey, you're getting a haircut, you're getting a bunch of shots, you're going down to the pool, you're going to the march, you're going out in the heat, you're staying up at night, you're going to be on watch at 4 o'clock in the morning until, you know, and you're going to do this and this and this. And, you know, I mean, all of a sudden it kind of dawns on you that you're kind of getting carried where you might not want to go. But you volunteered. You volunteered. And so I was thinking that, well, here we go. And I became property of the U.S. government. You know what? But I also became their responsibility. I'm yours, man. And now, guess what? They gave me everything I needed. I got down there to boot camp. We got in there, and the first thing we did was we went and got a nice haircut. Huh? Yeah, it looked like yours, Fred. When I come out, that's about how I look. Man, everybody, it was about 70 of us, and we was all standing out there rubbing our heads. Gary, is that you? He's going, Daniel, is that you? And I couldn't stop rubbing it, man. My head felt so good. I had hair like Angela's, probably about like that when I got down. And it was off in 4 seconds. And I rubbed my head and I said, man, my head feels, is that you? Yeah, that's me. And they gave us a nice haircut. And then they got these old mothball smelling clothes out of the bag there. We got all our little unit. You know, you got your pants and your shirts and you got your underwear and your socks. And you know what the first thing you did, if you guys can't remember being in the military line, you sat there at the little stencil table and you had to stencil your shirts. And you have to follow instructions in the military. You stencil over your right pocket. I guess it was, I remember now. You stencil over, you find out how many guys join the military don't know their right from their left. You know, they tell you right pocket. It don't mean right as it's on the table and you're looking at it. It means right as you're wearing it. They explained it all. And then you see these guys all during boot camp with their name on both sides. And then you're going, what a moron. You know, that's what that's what you said. You know, what a moron. He stenciled his name on the wrong side. But you got your clothes and they fed you. Boy, 3 meals a day, didn't get no cookies and milk before you went to bed at night, didn't get no snacks. You had breakfast, lunch, dinner, you better eat while you were in there. And then they trained us, and we got medical stuff was all free, and they got transportation. They took you all over the place. It's not just a job, it's an adventure. And you got to, you know, I got to go on a cruise. Don't you want to get on a cruise? See, why join the Army? They don't promise you no cruise. The Navy gives you a cruise. I got on a ship and went on a cruise. And the dentist, man, they snatched out my wisdom teeth. And, man, I mean, all that stuff, didn't have to pay a dime. That's the Bennies right there. That's Bennies. They took care of me. My company commander said, we got in boot camp. We're going to be in there 9 weeks. He said, I'm going to tell you right now, this is how good they take care of you. He said, for the next 9 weeks, I'm going to be your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister. I'll even be your dog. That's it. Had it all covered. He said, I'm everything. And boy, I'll tell you what, man, took care of us. But you know what? When you sign up, I had faith that they was going to supply all that. That I had faith that I was going to get fed. I had faith that hopefully they knew what they were doing. I mean, I had my doubts a few times, you know, at sea when the whole boat's underwater. You kind of wondering if he was on a submarine or on one supposed to be on top of it. You kind of wondering if the guy knew what he was doing. But I pretty much had faith. Well, let me tell you something. When you sign up to follow under that flag over there, when you sign up under the Christian flag, you know, you got to have faith that Jesus Christ will supply every need that you have. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, he said this. He said, "Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these, all these things do the Gentiles," which means the lost, "seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Man, in other words, join up. Join up. I'll get it to you in a nutshell. He said, look, the fowls of the air, they're not out there putting away a retirement plan. And I'm not saying don't do that. I'm just saying they're not putting in a retirement and sweating a load about toiling in the rut. And God takes care of them. He said, don't worry about your food. Don't worry about... And he's not telling you not to work, but he's just telling you where to put your faith in. And what he's really saying, listen, if I take care of the lilies and the grass and the fowls of the air, don't you know that we, human beings, are God's crowning creation? Amen. Crowning achievement. The only thing the Bible says that is made in the image of God is us. We have the capacity for God. We have a soul and a spirit. And not everything else has that. If he takes care of these other things out here, isn't he going to take care of us? Amen. If we just put you know, the animals aren't running around sweating it out, thinking, boy, I hope God's going to take care of me. The grass and the lilies, and it's not saying I hope God's going to take, they're not worried about it. God takes care of them. The sun comes up and the rain comes down and God takes care of them. We're the only ones that worry. We worry. God will take care of us. He promised us that. Listen, we're in His army. We're created in His image. We should have faith that Jesus Christ will supply every need. He knows every need. And He can supply every need. We have to have complete faith in Him. There's some spiritual veterans that I know that know it. I was thinking about old Hazel Hager, 107. I think she made 107, 106, 107. She just passed away this last year. Christian lady, Christian most of her life. She got saved when she was a little girl. She told me all about it. 107 years old, man, gleam in her eye. She said, you know, as long as I'm on earth, she said, I'm going to tell people about Jesus. I'm going to tell people about Jesus. 107. Man, she didn't have, there wasn't a worry on that woman. Not a worry. You don't get to be 107 worrying yourself to death at an early age, right? She trusted. I was thinking about Mike Kahn. Next Sunday night, Mike Kahn will preach. He's going to preach to you on Sunday night. His father, Gerald, he really encouraged me when I first went into the ministry. And Gerald pastored for years and years. He had passed away. And at the funeral, it had another... An older fella, old guy, man, he was kind of neat, man. He was a pretty old fella, had snow white hair. I've never seen hair that white. And he had on one of those coats that looked like the olden days, like Colonel Sanders or something. You know, they were a little longer, and the collars and all on them were a different color. But he preached Gerald Kahn's funeral, and he said, boy, he said, an old soldier, an old warrior has gone home to rest. You know, that's what he called him, all them years of faithful service. Serving God. David said this in Psalms. He said, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Psalm 37:25. He said, you know what? I was young and now I'm old. And he said, but the people that are trusting God, I've never seen them begging bread. He said, God has taken care of them every step of the way. Listen, we can have complete faith in Jesus Christ. It takes to be an old veteran of any kind, it takes complete commitment. You know, when you sign on the dotted line for military service, like I said, you realize pretty quick that, you know, there's no backing down. You're committed, whether you want to be or not, you're committed. And there's no half commitment. You know, you don't sign up and say, well, you know, I'll kind of take this part of it, but I don't want to take that part of it. You're obligated and you'll show up. You know, there's, you know, you don't, get a command from the commanding officer and then say, well, you know, I just feel like doing it. I didn't feel like doing it today. I'll get around to it, Cap. Don't worry about it. I'll get to it. Yeah, you do it. Right, you know, right then. I just didn't want to do it. Or I had a restless night last night. I didn't sleep that good, Chief. I just don't think I'm going to be able to do that today. No. That's not how it goes. No, you sign on, you listen, you've got things you've got to do. I've got my own business to attend to and all that. Yeah, they laugh you out of there. Have you locked up one? Listen, when you serve the Christian flag, and therefore you serve Jesus Christ Himself, we ought to have the same commitment to Him that we had when we were in the service. Because He willingly died for us. He willingly shed His blood for us. And nothing should be allowed to interfere with our faithfulness and service to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When Jesus called Peter and James and John, Luke 5:11 says, Peter, James, and John said, when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him. In the same chapter, and talking about the call of Matthew, he was a tax collector. It said, and he left all, rose up, and followed Him. In other words, they left it behind. They started following. Those other things had a secondary place of importance. I wrote this down in the back of my notebook this morning, something I was looking at, and something came up in Sunday school about priorities, high priorities. What's your priority in life? You know, I'll tell you, listen, most people have them. They're not correct. They have incorrect priorities in their life. Listen, when you sign up on the military, buddy, and you got that is your priority. When you sign, it doesn't matter what your plans are. It doesn't matter what you want to do. It's what the government has lined up for you to do, and it's the same with that commitment to Jesus Christ, and it should be more so. Luke 14:33 says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. You can't sign up on the military dotted line and say, well, you know, I think I'll take 6 months off right away, or I'm going to just work half the time. It can't be done. You can't be a veteran. You can't be a veteran of the cross doing that either. It's a full-time commitment. And then there's complete obedience, so we understand that. Like I say, you can't obey half or part of an order. You have to obey the whole order. John 14:21 says, he that hath my commandment and keepeth them, hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. A complete obedience. That's it. There's no halfway doing. You know, it's not even any obedience at all. And we were talking about this in the Sunday school hour, how we have shortcuts in life, and we're trying to have shortcuts to Christianity or shortcuts to our spiritual life. Listen, there's no shortcuts. You can't. You know, I've said this before in church. How many of you want to see a great revival, boy? How'd you like to see church like it was in the Book of Acts? Man, I mean, when the people came in and fear fell on every man and the Holy Spirit of God was so strong that, you know, people just knew it. They could feel it. There was joy. There was excitement. There was a buzz. The lost people, you came in, you either came in and got out or you came in and got saved. You just couldn't stay the same. Nobody was changed. How'd you like to have church like that? It'd be awesome, wouldn't it? But I'm going to tell you what, it's not a shortcut to it. We're not going to have revival in the spring, and I'm going to bring in a dynamic preacher, and bingo, all of a sudden. You look at the church in Acts there, I talked about that. They were new Christians, man. They weren't 20, 30-year veterans in Christianity at that time. Christianity was brand new. But at the same time, they were going out. They were bringing 3,000 souls a day to Jesus Christ. Who was doing it? Brand new Christians. Brand new Christians that said, you know what, it's my job. When it wasn't a job in that sense, you know, they wanted to do it. They loved the Lord. They wanted to tell others about Jesus. That's how they did it. There's no shortcut, so we're not going to have it. Guess what's it going to take to have a revival like we always hear about or we've heard about or we talk about? I'll tell you what it's going to take to have a revival, buddy. You're going to have to get in the Word of God. You're going to have to sacrifice some of your time to study the Word of God. You're going to have to get in some old prayer meetings and get down on your knees and spend more than 2 seconds praying to Jesus Christ about what's going on in your life, about what's going on in the world around you. You're going to have to spend some time in prayer. You're going to have to say, you know what, I'm committed to Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be obedient no matter what, not circumstantial obedience, weigh it out, see if it's all going to come out good in the end, and I'll go ahead and do it. Maybe I'll be obedient today, and maybe I won't tomorrow. No, we're going to have to spend some time. There's no shortcuts. to doing that, you know, to being obedient to Christ. And that's how, when that happens, buddy, you'll see it'll be a wave of change in your life. It'll be a wave of change in your church's life and in your community life. And then the last point, complete devotion. When you're in a war, some of you guys I know were in war. You can't, or, and if you weren't in war and you're a male, and maybe some of you women probably can relate to this too, probably. You ever been in a fight? You ever got in a fight? You got to be pretty committed to be in a fight, right? Well, I'm just going to kind of halfway fight. You know, I'll just be, you know, somebody's going to beat you up. And listen, buddy, hold it. Right, let's set the ground rules. I'm only going to be halfway trying today, so I only want you to halfway try. Huh? How about, huh? That's a good one, isn't it? You know, you can't, you get in a war, listen, it's all out war. I mean, you're either in or out, you know, and if you're in, you're fully committed or completely devoted to that. It's life or death. Life or death. It's amazing. I was watching some of the Veterans Day things on TV and the fights and going on and things blowing up and, you know, what people had to do, man, arms and limbs falling off of them. They had to tie them up and, you know, to fight the war. And they had to continue on. And why did they do that? Listen, it's life or death. You're going to fight. Like, listen, man, you get a mama bear or something, a bear will usually run away from you, but get mama and her babies and get them cornered and see that mama turn into, she's not going to be meek and running away the other way, man. She's going to be a ferocious killer right there. Listen, when our life or somebody else's life depends upon it, it depends upon our commitment, our devotion, our dedication. But here it is. This is the honest part of it all. The problem with most people's Christianity, it's not life or death. They don't see it as life or death. It's like, hey, I got along without it before, and I can get along without it now. It's not life or death in the sense that there's, you know, it is, but I want you to see this. It's life or death in your spiritual life. Yeah, your spiritual life, you're going to be dead spiritually if you're not totally devoted, committed to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you what, it's life or death for that person, that neighbor, that child of yours, that kinfolk relation of yours, wherever God, whatever sphere of people that God has you in. If you're a Christian, but your Christianity is not life or death, it could be death for them in an eternal sense, because you're not committed enough to share your faith and to live your faith in their presence. We got to see that our listening is as wicked and wicked and wicked as this world's getting to be. Our Christianity, you have to view it as life and death. There's so many illustrations. I'd be here forever talking about the soldier illustrations in the Bible about putting on the armor, getting the sword. You don't have a sword, you don't have armor if you're not going to be in a fight. It's a spiritual battle. It is life and death. Your life depends upon it, your spiritual life, and somebody else's eternal life may depend on that. Let me ask you this in closing. Are you a veteran? Are you in the army of God? He's still looking for volunteers. He's still got his recruiters out there. Listen, you can join up today. All you have to do is be willing. Come down. Why don't you come down and join this army. Make a commitment. You're going to be committed somewhere. You're going to be committed to yourself. You're going to be committed to this world. You're going to be committed to Jesus Christ. Somewhere you're committed. Nobody's going to take care of you like Jesus does. Amen. Nobody can give you eternal life either.